The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Good morning. How are you today? Thank you for joining us for The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices that are trying to love, serve, and be like the Master. Thank you so much for joining us for this moment together. Did you know that one of the main questions that I receive from people is these lives really lives, or have you pre-recorded them? And what I can tell you is, yes, it's live right now here in Saskatoon. It's 7:09, Friday, October 15. And yes, sometimes I don't mention the time or the day, or even if it's morning, afternoon, evening, because I want to make sure that these resources will be a benefit and a blessing, not just for those that are watching live, but for those that will be watching on demand later on, and even a few years going on, right? I have mentioned to my daughter, Olivia, and my boy Christopher, saying to them, listen, what Daddy is doing here every day is for you to watch one day and maybe show to your kids if Jesus doesn't come. It's a legacy that we are planting these seeds out there. And I want to say that I'm sorry for the delay. And it's very interesting that I just finished the Portuguese broadcast, and I do earlier, prior to the English one, the Portuguese broadcast. And as soon as I finished the broadcast, all the equipment turned off, right? It's just, I rebooted everything, didn't work a second time. And then I realized there's more here than cables and cameras and lights. There's a spiritual war here. So I prayed. And I tell you, even though I'm not getting the signals there on the equipment, it looks okay here for me on the computer. So if the signal is going out, it's just by God's grace. And I understand that someone is unhappy with what we're trying to accomplish here. Getting together, studying the Bible, trying to understand God's will for us, calling people to surrender and to devote themselves to God. I understand that. And there's someone that's not happy. And even today that we're studying the second temptation of Jesus. And by the way, sometimes, and like yesterday when we studied the first temptation, some of the lives didn't go through some of the medias. I think Instagram didn't go. We couldn't connect. And I just want to let you know that we broadcast live to Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So if you're watching in one of those medias and you're not getting the signal, check the other media, okay? We are trying to do our best to make more accessible and easy for people to have access to these lives and these resources. But sometimes technology doesn't work, or we have other issues that we are not aware, such as spiritual issues here or there. So try there. And if you want to know where to connect, go to our website. There you have on the bottom of the website the links for our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and subscribe to the channel. So at least you get notifications when we have new resources, new videos, new lives coming up, so you can follow along. Well, as you know, as this community of Jesus apprentices, we have a motto that we want to live for. And this motto is the following: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the foundation of God's kingdom. And for us to be truly followers of God, followers of Jesus, apprentices of Him, we must love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. We are coming to the end of the sixth week, and we have a memory verse that we try to memorize throughout each week. And the memory verse for this week comes from Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." This Bible verse is powerful, and it is crucial for us to understand the concept of Jesus' temptations. Because on this Bible verse, we see Jesus' identity, purpose, and mission there. And somehow, what the devil tried to deceive Jesus and tempt him is related to his identity, mission, and purpose. And here, today, we'll be studying something very interesting that every one of us, in some kind of level, we face the same temptation from the devil. The temptation of power, authority, influence, something that he approached Jesus. And for us to overcome the devil and his temptations and his schemes, we must be connected with God. We must be connected with Jesus Christ, and we need to live before His presence all the time. And we have the invitation of Hebrews 4:16 that says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most." So God invites us to live in His presence, to be before Him. There we understand who God is and who we are. We understand our identity, our purpose, our mission here. And we receive His grace, receive His mercy. And that is the only way, being connected with God, living in His presence, to overcome the devil and his schemes. So at this moment, I want to invite you to come into God's presence through prayer, through Bible study. And for that, I want to ask you to take a moment to prepare for this experience of being in God's presence, paying attention to His Word, trying to apply what He has reserved for you today. So take this 1 minute to pray about it, think about it, and connect with God. And then we'll come back for a short prayer and Bible study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in your presence. It is good, God, to understand your purpose for us and for our lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and to you only. Lord, protect this community, the community of the rescue worker. Lord, be with everyone that is listening to my voice, providing healing, providing strength, encouragement, forgiveness, and salvation. Help us to hear your voice through the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. And today we'll be studying verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. So just to situate you, Jesus was baptized, and that is even related to our memory verse. He had that beautiful experience with God and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ through the wilderness. Jesus submitted his life to the Holy Spirit and to God, having them given him the direction for his life. So the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness so Jesus could connect with God. Well, no one that is connecting with God will go an easy life, because the enemy doesn't want anyone to be connected with God. So the enemy comes to try to destroy, to make noise, and he doesn't want to see us connect with God. And he came to Jesus on the wilderness to break that connection. He tries to approach Jesus to not obey God through the identity of Jesus. Since you are the Son of God and you are hungry, why you don't transform this bread, this stone, and loaves of bread? Satan was saying something good, something that would be helpful to Jesus, but the problem that God had not revealed to Jesus that was his plan for Jesus. So Jesus said, no, man will not live just by their desires and their needs, but man will live based on God's guidance and direction. And God has not revealed to me that I should do that. So the first temptation was related to Jesus' identity, or connected with Jesus' identity. Somehow the second temptation of Jesus here in the Gospel of Luke is related to Jesus' mission and how to accomplish the mission. You see, Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one from the Hebrew Bible, the Christ. And just a kindly note, Christ is not the Jesus' last name. Christ is a title that means Christ means Messiah, anointed one, is the title of the Messiah, Christ. So Jesus, the Christ, he is the Messiah. And as the Messiah was revealed to David and through the prophets, the Messiah would reign, would be the ruler. So the people at Jesus' time had this wrong perception of the work of the Messiah, that he would be this strong and powerful leader, political leader that would take and implement the rulership of God here on earth through kings and power, right? That was their idea. And somehow that is the devil's idea as well. Yes, the Messiah will rule, but that rulership as worldwide and the only rulership will happen in the future, will happen at the second coming of Jesus, when he comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But right now, he needs to rule in our lives as individuals, as representatives of God's kingdom, so we can implement the kingdom here. Because the goal of the Bible is not to take us from here to a kingdom, but it's to bring the kingdom to here, to the earth. That's the movement of the kingdom movement, I call. Not take us from here, but bringing kingdom here. So the way that Jesus would accomplish the kingdom and the authority to rule over was a difficult path, with a path of humility, submission to God, suffering, right? The path to conquer authority to reign was a path of love, of sacrifice, a humble path. That was the way, because God, yes, he has the power to enforce, but God is love, and love doesn't enforce. Love has given us the freedom of choose. If there's no freedom in love, it is not love. So God must give people opportunity to, for them to decide who will be ruling over their life. And as they make the decision, he will say, okay, but the true ruler, it's me. And Jesus will come and rule over, right, with love and by love, but that will come in a future. The implementation of his kingdom. And was through a difficult path, the path of the cross. So now Satan comes to offer Jesus an easy way out, a fast way for him to conquer his kingship, let's say. And hear what he says, the Bible says. So verse 5, Luke 4, verse 5. Then the devil took him, and by the way, when we compare the temptation as described in the Gospel of Luke with the temptation in the Gospel of Matthew, we'll see there is a difference. This second temptation of Luke is the third temptation in Matthew. And some people start freaking out, okay, who's right, who's wrong, what is the right sequence? And this very narrow understand and approach the Bible. More important what was the second or the third is the message of them. And based on what Luke is trying to conceive and the narrative that he's building up, he want to finish in the temple because the temple is the key point for Luke, right? That happens with Zechariah is in the temple, Mary going to the temple to present Jesus. The temple is a centerpiece on the narrative of Luke. So Luke, for Luke's narrative, more important than the sequence is the narrative for Luke. And Luke puts the second temptation of Matthew as the last one. So don't worry about the sequence. Focus on the meaning. So verse 5, then the devil took him, Jesus, took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Here we don't have information if it was high to a mountain, high to in the air. But what we know is the devil has power and he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world at that moment. Yes, Rome was the major empire, but wasn't the only kingdom of the time. There were other kingdoms that Rome had not conquered yet. And maybe he was not planning to conquer. So the devil shows all the kingdoms. And I can see and imagine he referring or leading Jesus to think, hey, that is the mission of the Messiah, to rule over all the kingdoms. Yeah, Daniel 2 talks about that. The kingdom of God ruling over all the other kingdoms. So here are all the kingdoms that you need to rule as the Messiah. And now he will show a path to Jesus that is not the path that God has designed for Jesus. You see, today when Satan is trying to deceive us, sometimes he's take us up and show us what he can offer, what could be ours. And the reality is that nothing that the devil offers us is something that we don't have already. We have already. Satan cannot offer something because we have everything in Jesus Christ. You see, when Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eve, in the Garden of Eden, he offered Eve saying, hey, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. Hey, by the way, Eve was created according to like the likeness of God, the image of God. Satan was offering something she had already. And I can tell you that everything that Satan may offer you is something that you have in Jesus. Something that you're experiencing right now, experiencing tomorrow, experiencing the future. In Jesus Christ, you don't need him. But he wants to deceive you with the glory, the power, and the possibilities. And he did that with Jesus. And then verse 6 says, Satan saying, I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. I am giving you, I can give you the authority and the glory. You can be loved by these people. You can be loved by the Romans and all the empires. You can have authority, influence over them. I can give that to you. You know what is interesting? Is that Satan is offering something that Jesus had already or had received from the Father or the promise from the Father. You see, let's go and read another Bible verse. I usually don't do that. I just stay in the book of Luke. But let's go to Psalm 2. And I think that is important because Psalm 2 is a very important psalm for the life of Jesus. And in special for Jesus' baptism and the temptation of Jesus. I have referred to Psalm 2 when I talked about Jesus' baptism, and I think it was last week. Psalm 2 was the psalm of coronation, the moment that a king will be receive his rulership. A psalm to be sang during coronation. And there is a very important phrase here, verse 6, 7, but let's focus verse 7. The Lord said to me, you are my son, and today I have become your father. So at the moment of the coronation, God say, you now are my son, and because I rule the universe, you rule on my behalf here. And you're supposed to rule like I rule the universe. So your power, your authority comes from me. But what is beautiful here is you are my son. Where did you hear this phrase? At Jesus' baptism. Remember? So Psalm 2 and Jesus' baptism is connected at the moment he understands that he's receiving the coronation of God. Yes, you are my Messiah, the ruler, and you are my son. Don't forget that. And now comes verse 8. So Psalm 2 verse 8. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. So God has offered to his son the full world. And Jesus received at the baptism the confirmation that he was his son. Therefore, he's the ruler of the whole world. And guess what? When we accept Jesus, we receive his sonship, right? We are daughters and sons of God, so we receive his inheritance. And we go to Revelation 20 and many other parts in Revelation, and we will reign with God for all eternity. So the reigning, because we will reign over everything. So God has given us everything. And Jesus had everything, but everything that was given by God. Now the devil say, I can give you. all this earth, all this authority. But God had promised already to his son all that. Interesting, right? Interesting. And here we continue, right? I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms, the authority of them. Authority of them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. So the devil say, hey, they are mine and I can give it to anyone. Do you remember the devil's desire? Right? How Isaiah says, Isaiah 12, and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, I want to have my thrones above the thrones of God. I want to be like the high most one. I want to be the authority. So the devil had this desire to be the one, the governor. And here, if we have, let's say, a better translation, I would say, this authority, right, and this kingdom has been given to me, and now I can give to anyone I want. That would be probably the way that Satan said. And he, sorry, and he's referring that, yes, he has influence over the kingdom of Rome and other kingdoms. He's behind the leaders and these schemes of power. Right? He's behind, but he's referring more than that kind of influence that makes him the ruler of the universe. He's referring to Genesis 1. If you remember, God created Adam and Eve according to his likeness and image. And that means that they were supposed to reign like God reigns. They were supposed to be rulers of the earth like God rules the universe. So God gives them domain. They give them rulership over the nature, over this earth. They are reigning. And because now they chose the devil instead of God, and the devil's mindset, he says, well, because they chose me, now I am the owner and the ruler of this earth. But the problem the devil missed, and sometimes we miss as well, is because the only reason that Adam and Eve were able to rule was because God is the true ruler. Adam and Eve were ruling on behalf of God, the true ruler. And every week, God put a landmark for them to remember that at the end of the day, they are not the true rulers of this earth. God is. And this landmark is the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, we'll stop ruling to recognize that the ruler is God. On the Sabbath day, you're not ruling because the true ruler rules over everything. So the Sabbath day is a memorial that God rules, and humankind, yes, they have the domain, the rulership, because God rules. And that's so crucial. So the devil didn't have the authority because everything belongs to God. Psalm 24:1, everything belongs to God. The people, the gold, the silver, the animals, everything belongs to him. Not everything has submit to him, not everything has surrendered to him, but everything belongs to him. But the devil had this idea that he had, because Adam and Eve had submit to him, but that was not true. And now comes how Jesus could have access to these rulership, this domain. You see, the ways of the earth are different from the ways of heaven. Jesus' path was kind of clear and unfolding before Jesus. He had to love, serve, and his loving, serving path will lead him to the cross. But the ways of the earth, to conquer power and authority and influence, is by negotiation, compromising. is connecting with the right people, having the right relationships, having the right telephone numbers on your agenda. Is connecting, is giving, is exchange. The way of to conquer influence and power, authority in this world is through these negotiations and all that that you're very familiar. That, unfortunately, is part of the church life as well, because people are in the process of being transformed, and many people have not surrendered to God yet, even though they claim the name of God, they attend church, they don't have submitted to God yet. So they use not the path of love and service, but they use the path of, how can I put it in a kind way? They use the path of coercion, they use the path of blaming people to accomplish what they want, but not the path of love and service like the path of God. So here, Satan is offering all that for a price. And here's the price. Verse 7. I'll give it all to you if you worship me. If you submit to me, I'll give to you. If you align to me, I'll make your life easier. You have everything that God has promised you right now without the path, the difficult path that you need to go through. You see, the schemes of Satan are the same. It was the same thing that he said to Eve. If you ate this fruit, I can give you something that God has not given to you. And now to Jesus, he say, if you align with me, if you submit to me, if you trust me, I can give you right now. It's a question of submission, surrender, and alignment, allegiance. If Jesus has given his allegiance to Satan, he would give to him all these kingdoms. Huh. You see? Satan is trying to break the trust between Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's trying to mislead Jesus to a path that God has not put before Jesus. Satan is trying to change his allegiance from the Father to himself. And what was the answer of Jesus? Well, Jesus answered again with a Bible verse, Deuteronomy 6:13. In the first temptation, Jesus answered with Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And now from Deuteronomy 6:13, Jesus replied, the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. My alliance, my allegiance, my surrender, my submission is to God and God only. What is your submission, your alliance? Is to your friends? Is to your ideas? Your dreams? To the power? To the glory? To whom are you connect and align to? The only one that deserves our submission is God, the ruler of the universe. And Jesus made that clear. And you and I, we must make that decision every single day. Who's the ruler of our life? Who is the Lord of our life? To whom are we connected, submitted, surrendered? I pray that you say Jesus, not to the glory of this world, the authority, the pleasure, the many friends, a position, a lifestyle, a bank account, I pray that your alliance and allegiance is with God and only God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus' decision. He's the model for us. And help us to be faithful to you and only you. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions of reflection. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, thank you so much for being with us. I pray that you reflect upon these lessons and this Bible verse throughout today and throughout this weekend. And I pray that next week you'll be joining us again to start this seventh week of experience Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. May God bless you and have a great weekend, and I hope to see you next week.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.